Welcome to the message podcast of Catalyst Baptist Church, a vibrant church with two campuses located west of Melbourne, Australia. Dedicated to creating a welcoming and safe space for everyone to explore and grow their faith in God, our vision is to see hope multiplied within our community and around the world. We hope this podcast serves as a source of encouragement and spiritual growth for you. Thanks for listening, and we look forward to journeying with you in faith.
Have you ever had one of these moments? Wait, what? We were driving to the hospital the other day, and we passed a Lotus race car on the road. Had a number on it and everything. Now, you picked up the part, we passed it, right? Right? So that tells you a little bit. But anyway, it was like, what? Had to do a double take on that. And maybe that was a car that probably looked like it should be more in the Fast and Furious movies. Maybe for you, it was a dog in a stroller wearing sunglasses or something like that. Or we actually went to Costco the other day. And by the way, that was a nightmare. I don't know why they didn't keep them both open. It's ridiculous. Anyway, sorry. But we're walking through the store, and there's a girl in her mid-20s in a cart, sitting in a cart being pushed around. And it's like, what? You know, it's like, what are you thinking? You know, when we have those wait, what moments, a lot of times those are fun, and it can be just funny, and they're innocent. But sometimes you might be out in the shops, or you might be down at the park or down at the beach or even scrolling on your phone, and then something or someone arrests your attention. You notice it. And that first glance is probably automatic. But the second one is a choice that we made. It was intentional. That's where the battle begins. And some people say, well, it's just looking. But Jesus says, looking leads somewhere. That's what Jesus is talking about in this part of the Sermon on the Mount that we're going to be unpacking today. And just like last week, Jesus is raising the bar on stuff. Last week, we talked about murder, and we're all okay if we don't murder. But then we said, but Jesus said, if you're angry, it's almost the same, right? So if you missed that message, you missed any other messages through this series, go to our app, our website, YouTube channel, like it, share it, send it to all the angry people in your life so they can get that straightened out, and then you watch it again, or maybe you need to watch the forgiveness ones and stuff like that. But anyway, Jesus, through this section of the Sermon on the Mount, he's not just addressing what we do, he's addressing what we dwell on, what we choose to keep ruminating on. See, it's not just about where our eyes go, it's where our heart travels with them. So today, we're going to be talking about lust and loyalty and love. We're going to be looking at what it truly means to guard your heart. And I want to give a disclaimer for those of you that are first-timers, and maybe you're not even a Jesus follower yet. Did you know that actually the things that Jesus says, you're not obligated to follow and obey? Okay, so if that's you today, you almost getting a free pass here. But before you check out, let me encourage you. I guarantee you that if you follow the principles that Jesus is talking about today, it'll make your life better, even if you don't choose to follow him as your Lord and Savior, okay? But it's optional for you. Also, I want to give another disclaimer that today's message is going to be heavy. And it may bring up stuff from your past, something that's happened to you, and those kinds of things. So I want to encourage you that this will be challenging and difficult, but the goal is for it to bring freedom, all right? So hang with me, listen close, and listen to what the Spirit might have to say to you. Because see, Jesus doesn't want you to just avoid a mistake. He wants to lead you to a life of wholeness, a life of commitment and love that lasts. So let's jump right into Jesus' teaching in Matthew chapter 5. He says this, You have heard the commandment that says, you must not commit adultery. And we can all say, yeah, I'm on board with that. That even if I'm not a Jesus follower and I don't believe everything that he taught, I reckon I can live with that one. We don't like unfaithfulness. And in society, they would frown on unfaithfulness, on adultery. So the natural conclusion then for those listening to Jesus while he's teaching here is that, okay, the prohibition is don't commit adultery. So good people are the ones that don't commit adultery. Bad people are the ones that give in and commit adultery. That's the way they would have processed that. But Jesus doesn't stop there. He says this, but I say, anyone who even looks at a woman with lust has already committed adultery with her in his heart. Oh, no. Why didn't he just stop with don't commit adultery? Yeah, we would be more comfortable with that, but he's raising the bar beyond don't cheat. Now he's saying don't dwell. He's taking it beyond our physical action to our mental attention. It's not about a single glance, something that was involuntary. It's about allowing ourselves to dwell on it. What Jesus is saying here is that adultery does not start in the bed. It starts in the brain. Okay, and I've been a pastor for 30-something, way too many years. One day I'm going to have to say 40-something years, but still 30-something right now. And I can't tell you how many times I've talked to people who had messed up and their lives were a shambles, their marriage was a shambles. And often I'll hear, I don't know how it happened. And my response generally is, I actually think you do. Right? Because you started entertaining a thought that actually ended up being acted out. Now, that's why Pastor Inike and Pastor Deanna do all the counseling here. Because when you come talk to me, I'm just going to say, yeah, you do know why. Anyway, what Jesus is saying here is very simple. Where your eyes go, your heart follows. Where your eyes go, your heart follows. The look that Jesus is talking about here wasn't the casual glance. It was the intentional, constant stare with the purpose of lusting. That's what Jesus is talking about. Did you know that it's actually possible for you, whichever gender you are, to look at the opposite sex and notice beauty in another person? Did you know that? You can notice beauty in another person without lusting after them. Now, if your spouse, if your wife says, hey, is she a beautiful woman? It's a trap, okay? Don't lie, but just don't answer. Say, yeah, not gonna win on this one. But it's actually natural. God made people, and some people are beautiful and all that, and they're all beautiful in his eyes. But the man Jesus is describing here is the man that was looking and lusting to feeding his own inner sensual appetites. That's what Jesus is talking about here. It was not accidental. It was actually planned. What he's driving home here is when you feed your mind, what you feed your mind forms your desires. And when it goes over and over in our mind and we keep feeding that, it makes our desires, and our desires then demand action. And that's how we end up in those places. Practical examples. Maybe it's that subtle scrolling that turns into an obsession. Maybe it's the comparing your partner to filtered fantasy versions of others. Maybe it's that casual flirtation that seems fairly harmless. You know, it's not just about physical attraction here. It could be that person that makes you feel good about yourself. They make you feel valued. They make you feel like you're smart, you're funny, you're kind. And you're not always experiencing that with your partner or your future partner. Society has a really, really big problem when it comes to sex. You'll be shocked to know that porn sites receive more monthly traffic than Netflix, Amazon, and X or Twitter all combined. And 35% of internet downloads are pornography. Are you startled by that? Check this out. Teenagers and young adults, survey said that they view not recycling as a bigger moral issue than watching pornography. So better be recycling, guys. The teenagers and young adults are going to come and get us. Jesus speaks here, and he specifically calls out men. And I want to be really clear and careful with this today. This is not just a male issue. But there's a reason that Jesus is calling out men on this issue, okay? Because in that society, ancient Roman law said this: if you should catch your wife in adultery, you may put her to death without a trial. But if you should commit adultery, she must not presume to lay a finger on you, nor does the law allow it. That's why Jesus was calling out the men specifically here. And back then, and sadly, even sometimes in our own day, there can be an attitude sometimes that if a man is lusting after a woman, that it actually might be the woman's fault. It might be because she's dressing the way that she's dressing, or she's doing something to entice him and using her feminine wiles to draw him away. Can I lovingly and gently as I can say, those are lies? And women, can I say on behalf of all the men on the planet, even the ones that don't want me to say this to you, I am sorry that you have had to endure that. Because Jesus says it's not okay. And men, if you're in that category, knock it off. Because Jesus is saying, hey, the person who's doing the lusting, that's who I'm putting the responsibility on. It's the looker. It's time for a heart check in this. Questions that we need to ask ourselves is, what are you feeding your thoughts? What are you letting your mind linger on? Because what you dwell on becomes what you desire. And what you desire is going to demand action. Are your eyes drawing you away from commitments? If that's you today, then there is a solution. Are you ready for it? Here it is. So if your eye, even your good eye, I love that because I've got a blind eye anyway, causes you to lust, gouge it out. If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It's better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. Now, that's the solution, okay? And I thought about today having some implements up here that would allow us to gouge our eyes out, or maybe some cleavers and big knives, that machetes, that would let us cut off people's hands. But I decided not to do that because, generally speaking, our church doesn't respond well to invitations. So I decided to give that a miss. But Jesus is saying, cut it off before it cuts you down. Now, Jesus is not promoting self-mutilation. He's not asking you to go and self-harm here. He's talking about spiritual surgery. He's promoting self-discipline. He's saying you need to take radical steps to protect your heart. He's saying this, that if you're going to be loyal in your relationships, you've got to be ruthless with your temptations. That's what he's saying. He's not saying literally go gouge your eyes out and cut your hands off, okay? So don't go there. But take radical steps to guard your heart. Some things are so dangerous to your soul that we can't just manage them. We have to eliminate them. And then Jesus says something here that is a repeat of something he said in last week's message. He says, it's better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. Now, because he talked about it last week and this week, I'm not going to run past hell right now. Because hell's a controversial subject. And there are some people that actually think hell doesn't exist. It's not real. I want to tell you that I wish that was true. I wish hell was not real. But hell is a real place. It's a place of torment and eternal judgment. It's a place of unquenchable fire. It's a place where people who have not experienced the forgiveness for their sins by accepting Jesus Christ as their personal Savior will spend eternity separated from God. That is the reality of hell. He's bringing hell up here because in Jesus' teaching, he's letting them know that don't commit adultery, but don't even lust. And he's saying, no matter where you are on this, you're never going to be good enough. You're all going to fail, so you all need my grace and forgiveness. That's his point. And if you reject my grace and forgiveness, well, there is judgment to follow. Jesus is calling people toward heart transformation, not external mutilation. The real danger is not the hand, it's not the eye, it's not the foot, but it's the sin that's in our heart that if we leave it unchecked, will have deep spiritual implications. Separation from God for all eternity. In the context here, he's talking about unchecked sin, especially when we keep excusing it. Now, you may be sitting there thinking, hang on a minute, I've actually done the lust thing, or I did the anger thing you talked about last week, and I'm in trouble. Jesus is not saying you're going to have sinless perfection, all right? Jesus is saying, if you keep excusing your sin over and over again, you're claiming to be a follower of Jesus, and your sin doesn't ever even bother you anymore, you might want to do a heart check. You might want to examine your own heart and say, am I truly a follower of Jesus? Because what the gospel teaches is that when we become a follower of Jesus, the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, comes and lives inside of us. And that Holy Spirit convicts us when we're doing stupid stuff, when we're doing sinful stuff. It doesn't mean we're never going to do the stuff, but it means we're not going to be okay with that. We're going to be convicted by it. So, summing up, hell is a literal place. It's the ultimate consequence, and Jesus is warning about it. The gouge your eye out and cut your hand off, those are figurative things that he's talking about, showing us how seriously we need to treat sin. He's inviting us to take sin seriously, to protect what matters the most, our heart, our relationships, and our soul. Some practical steps that we could take here. Maybe set some time limits on your social media consumption. Maybe unfollow some people or mute some people that might actually become a distraction. Maybe you follow somebody that's a friend and they actually like stuff that then becomes a distraction for you. Maybe you have to be brutal. Avoid one-on-one time with someone you're attracted to that might not be your spouse, that's not your spouse. Speak to a counselor about your struggles. But don't wait for your marriage to be at risk before doing something about it. Now, Jesus isn't just talking about lust. If you thought, okay, wow, hope he's almost done here. I'm free now. He talks about what this actually does to our marriages. Look at this. You've heard a man can divorce his wife by merely giving her a written notice of divorce. But I say that a man who divorces his wife causes her to commit adultery. There we go. The adultery thing coming up again. And we're talking about wrecked marriages. Because we're moving from desire to damage. Lust dismantles commitment. For those of you that are married in the room, we're talking to you for the next few minutes. Those of you that are going to have a future marriage, we're talking to you for the next few minutes. Jesus isn't giving a new law here. He's correcting a cultural mindset. See, in that culture, the people Jesus is talking to had decided that the men could divorce their wives for just any reason, such as she burnt the toast, or she's not aging as well as I thought she would, or I don't like the in-laws. Can I get an amen? Anyway, no. It was that easy. The Pharisees had turned marriage into a revolving door, and Jesus is slamming that door shut. He's saying, no, that's not on. But this passage then raises the question, is divorce ever okay? Is it okay? And I want to talk honestly and biblically about this for just a couple of minutes, because in Australia, 1 out of 3 marriages end in divorce. And if it's a second or subsequent marriage, it escalates to 2 out of 3. So it's a problem. And in churches, it's the same. I've heard from some people that marriage is hard. Right? Yeah, you got it. Thanks. My wife thinks marriage is hard. And even good marriages, great marriages, face tough times. So if you're struggling, what does the Bible really say here? Well, I'm going to start with God hates divorce. Divorce is messy, and it creates hurt. It creates hurt between the people that are getting the divorce, if they have children, if they have siblings, if they have parents. It creates lots of chaos, lots of hurt, lots of pain. I promise you. In Matthew chapter 19, Jesus says to the Pharisees, you can get a divorce for sexual unfaithfulness. Jesus actually says that. That's one of those, Jesus said, what? Right? But Jesus was responding to a very specific question. Look at this. It says, some Pharisees came and tried to trap him with this question. Okay, alert. It's a trick question. They're trying to trap him. Should a man be allowed to divorce his wife for just any reason? That is the specific question Jesus is responding to when he tells them about, yeah, you can do it for sexual unfaithfulness. His answer is no, not just for any reason. But Jesus wasn't giving an exposition on all the things that you could potentially be divorced for. In the Old Testament, and specifically Exodus chapter 21, if you want to look this up for yourself, there was permission of divorce for abuse and neglect. Marriage was a covenant, and it is a covenant. And breaking that covenant does have consequences. And Jesus isn't shutting down all the other possibilities for divorce when he says that. So bottom line, is divorce okay? Well, God permits divorce in some situations, such as adultery, abuse, or abandonment. But before you get all excited and get ready to run home and file the papers and get rid of your spouse, while God permits divorce in some situations, God never prescribes divorce. God doesn't say, yeah, that's the right thing, that's the best thing, that's my ideal for you. He permits it in some situations. It's a last resort, not a first response. So if your marriage is in trouble, can I beg you, as your pastor, who honestly, you have no idea how much I love you. You'll know if your marriage gets in trouble and you come and start talking to me, because it's going to break my heart. And my heart's broken over the last 35 plus years, over and over again, seeing people who come. Well, usually when they come to talk about it, it's pretty much too late. Intervene before then. Get help. But if you're in a relationship and you're struggling because it's dangerous, it's harmful, or your spouse is consistently violating the marriage covenant, know that God does not call you to stay there and suffer in silence. And here's the good news. Wherever you're at on that spectrum, I told you this was going to be hard today. And quite honestly, I didn't even want to preach this message. But whether you're married or you're separated or you're divorced, God meets you right where you're at with grace and healing and truth because he loves you, and forgiveness and healing are available. So what do we need to do with this? We need to choose loyalty over fantasy. See, lust is a fantasy that fades, while loyalty is a commitment that lasts. Our world is addicted to illusion. From romance novels to Instagram filters, we're drawn into what the world paints as the ideal and away from what's real. The truth is that real relationships are messy, but they're meaningful. So meaningful. Real relationships are meaningful. And lust offers escape, but love offers connection. When you're lusting, what are you trying to escape? Choose love. It offers connection. And then lust is selfish, but loyalty is sacrificial. Lust is about what can I get? Loyalty is sacrificial. And can I encourage you to consider some questions? Are you nurturing a fantasy that's stealing attention from your spouse or your future spouse? Are you romanticizing someone who is not yours to pursue? What you entertain in your head will eventually work its way out through your heart. Anyone can pursue passion, but few choose perseverance. And if you get nothing else out of this today, listen to this. I believe this with all my heart. If we spent more time fighting for our marriages than fantasizing about alternatives, we'd see more restoration and less regret. Because I can promise you that no matter how bad it is, and again, notwithstanding the things I just told you about not being in harmful situations and things, it will lead to regret if you wreck your marriage through fantasizing about the alternatives. If you choose lust over love, every time it'll end in regret. So today, you've heard Jesus' words. You felt the weight of them. I know that this is a heavy, heavy talk today. Now it's time for you to take some inventory, for me to take inventory. What am I feeding my mind when no one else is around? Answer that question to yourself. Where have I let my eyes lead my heart to? Have I been chasing fantasy over faithfulness? You need to be clear today. Pursuing purity isn't just about avoiding the big stuff. Purity is about pursuing God's best for your heart, for your relationships, and for your very soul. That's Jesus' teaching here. This is not about shame. It's about surrender. And it's not about behavior modification. It's about heart transformation. Because when God gets your heart, everything else is going to work itself out. So maybe today is time to delete an app. Or maybe to get an app that will actually tell on you when you're doing the wrong thing. Maybe it's time to open up to someone safe or put some more boundaries in place or stop that relationship, that flirtation that you know is right on the edge of going too far. Knock it off now. Maybe it's time to fight for your marriage or your future marriage like it's worth it, because it is. Let's choose what lasts today. Lust looks for what it can get. Love stays loyal to what it's given. Remember that. Take that to heart. As a church, we're not going to pretend that this stuff is not real. Some churches would never talk about this. But Jesus does, so we do. Because we're not a museum for perfect people. We're a hospital for broken people. Do you remember when the Pharisees, religious teachers of the day, brought a woman to Jesus. He said, hey, Jesus, we just caught her in the very act of adultery, and we brought her here to you now. She's probably naked there. Where's the dude? And Jesus said, you loving Pharisees, because I know your heart's in the right place. He didn't say that. He said, you who's without sin, cast the first stone. One by one, they walked away. Jesus looked at her and said, where'd they all go? Where are your accusers? And then he said these words, neither do I condemn you. Wow. He had the right to throw the stones. She messed up. She was not a nice woman. And Jesus said, I forgive you. That's grace. You know what else Jesus said? He said, now stop it. Go and sin no more. It's grace and truth. God offers you today grace. If you've messed up, there's grace. But he also calls you to truth. And he calls us all to forgiveness and to lives that are committed and loyal, not just chasing after our lustful desires. So let's be a community that doesn't just talk about love, but lives it out through our eyes, through our thoughts, in our hearts and our homes. I want to invite you to stand with me. We're going to say something together here. I'm going to read through this, and then I'm going to invite you to say it with me. Because this is what I want you to take home in your hearts today. We choose love, we choose loyalty, and we choose Jesus. Now, I want us to believe that collectively. That's why it says we. But I'm going to ask you to say it different. I'm going to ask you to say I. Because we can do it collectively, but only if we each do it individually. Okay? So say it with me. Here we go. I choose love. I choose loyalty. I choose Jesus. I trust that that's your heart today. And I trust that if this has hit something for you today, that you'll do something with it. Don't just go home feeling guilty and ashamed and all of that. That's not helpful. Talk to somebody. Get some prayer. Talk to God about it. You won't regret it. Father, thank you so much for the opportunity to read tough things that Jesus said. Lord, sometimes we'd rather not. We'd rather just talk about all the verses that make us feel warm and fuzzy and that about how much you love us. And Lord, the reality is you tell us this stuff that we just looked at today because you do love us. Because you know that this is the way for us to be healthy, for us to be whole, for us to be well people. You know the damage that this stuff causes. And Lord, that's why you call us to it. Lord, it's not because you want to spoil our fun. It's because you want to give us freedom. And Lord, we ask you right now for all of those that are here right now. Lord, you see the hearts. You know what's going on in minds. Lord, we didn't ask people to raise hands or anything like that for this because you know deep down inside each person and what they're thinking right now, what they're dealing with right now. I pray, Lord, for conviction, but I also pray for comfort. Lord, I pray for healing. I pray for responsiveness from people's hearts, that they might be experiencing a heart transformation where maybe they've been okay just to let this stuff linger. But Lord, today they've been confronted with your words, not mine. And Lord, they want the healing that you're offering. Lord, I pray that you deliver that to them today. And Lord, for those that have been hurt by others, in this space. I pray for comfort and peace and healing, and I pray that you would help them exercise forgiveness. In Jesus' name, amen.